Exactly. Come on. We're gonna go. But we're actually doing this as part of it. But the idea too, at Backside Attack.
All right, big save.
We're talking about like photography. Well, you just saw the Marcus. Where we're supposed to be?
I think so.
Oh, I'm good there. You're good there.
Wait one second.
Hey, the Keith here. Okay. I was always hoping for the behind the back.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is photos, because you just saw the Marquez MKBHD when he talked about like what is a photo.
Yes.
And people seem to think that like what you take with your camera is what you took, like what you saw.
Yeah.
Like with your eyes. And it's always like when you take a picture of the moon, mm-hmm. like the whole Samsung moon fuckery, whatever it is. But when you take a picture of the moon, it's always small and like a tiny dot. Mm-hmm. And when you look up in the sky, the moon is huge and pretty and it's easy to see. Mm-hmm. So you wonder, like, why can't my phone do that? Well, there's lots of stuff going on. There's actually, like, you know, some, like, planet curvature shit science going on back mm-hmm. there. So you're always annoyed that your phone can't pull it off.
Yes.
Yeah. So the whole idea was that you never really actually take the photo. The phone kind of does a whole lot of computational AI screwjobby mm-hmm. behind the scenes to make it look better.
Yes.
Saturation mm-hmm. pops, contrast pops. All this stuff kind of happens.
Yeah.
Something else people don't seem to realize either is like the depth of field and the lens you use. And the, like if you're using a wide angle lens, mm-hmm. like, you know, like a 20 to 24 millimeter lens compared to like a 50 millimeter lens produces a completely different
image picture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Altogether. Like the camera adds 10 pounds because you're putting a wide angle lens on there. All of a sudden somebody looks a little bit.
Yep.
Plumped up.
And then you have to wonder like how many cameras were on me?
How many cameras? Well, here is just two. We're using the GoPro today too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean like you always look at yourself in a photo and think, why do I look like that? How come my head's so big? Why does my ass look fat?
Yeah.
Or like you get a really nice photo and you're like, man, I look beautiful. Because it's like a professional camera from a guy like me who takes a really nice photo of a person like not you, but you. Mm-hmm. You who are watching this mm-hmm. and I make it look really good because I know what lens to use, mm-hmm. you know, so all of a sudden you look prettier than you're supposed to look.
Yeah.
And but that's not the truth because you're uglier than you look.
Everyone's always uglier than they look.
Everyone is uglier than they look. We're hideous.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But it was good. It was good to see. And then good to realize, like, you know, it's like, it was eye opening to see like how much computational photography, screws around with the image and spits out,
a lie.
Whatever it spits out a lie, basically. Yeah.
I mean, you're always going to be able to take your photos and take a really nice photo of whatever it is.
Yep.
And you'll look at it and you'll remember what you took a photo of. It'll be in your head. Mm-hmm. The memory is there and you feel good about it. I mean, if you're going to do the whole pixel peeping and you're going to really like nitpick and somebody's going to look at your photo and trash on it because it doesn't look how they think it should look. They get into like the megapixel counts and all that kind of, fuck them, man. I mean, those guys, they don't know what the hell they're talking about anyway.
Yeah, there's some people who like, you know, you take a picture of them, they don't like what they see and they ask you to edit it out and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, I was at a wedding. I see what you did there. I almost missed it. But I see what you did there. I was at a wedding one time. And that was sneaky. At Backside Attack. I was at a wedding one time when I had this, it was an Indian wedding. And it was a lot of people, very dark skin. And a lot of people in, like darker clothes, multicolored clothes, all this kind of stuff, right? So, not the one you're thinking of. This was done in a building that was also really dark. So, I've got the flash up, and I'm taking it. And it's, like, daytime, too. Like, everything is so dark. So, I've got it set for a certain skin tone. Because I have this idea that you shoot for the majority of what people look like. You're shooting a bunch of black people in a wedding in, like, a Southern Baptist church. Well, you better adjust that to make them look good. So, you don't adjust it for the one white guy who's there. Mm. So this particular wedding I'm shooting and I'm just snapping. I've got the wide angle on, the flash. I'm just trying to take these very candid, fast shots. And this one little Asian girl walks up, and the girl, lady, she was probably about our age. She walks up and this broad gets me to like snap a photo of her. And so I do a quick one because I'm just moving around. And then she's like, can I see the photo? I'm like, all right, whatever. So I let her see it. And because she's so porcelain white, mm-hmm. not ready for her in the moment. Like I'm not on auto setting.
The contrast was out of whack. She's just like,
it's out of whack, man. Her clothes look great, but her face kind of blew up. And I really didn't care. Cause I was like, it was on manual. I'm shooting like who I'm shooting, where I'm shooting. Right. Mm-hmm. And she starts like telling me like, oh, it's really blown out. You know, you should like work on your white balance and like work on that. I'm like, oh my God, woman, I just need you to let me get to work. Mm-hmm. I didn't say it like that, but I kind of gave her that whole like, yeah, well, you know, a lot of dark faces in the room. I'm shooting a certain kind of person. You're pretty light. If you give me a few minutes, I'll get to you.
Oh yeah. I'll just set it on auto and
I'll move the dial to auto. I'll get your photo. So it looks good for you. Mm-hmm. But this is the reason people cover up like their brand of camera and they don't talk a lot about like what they're using, what they're shooting. Like, there's a reason photographers don't talk to guests at a wedding much.
Mm-hmm.
It's because a lot of you are great. Most of you are awesome. But some of you are those pixel peepers who come in and try to tell us how to do our job.
Pixel peepers.
They're so irritating.
Actually, there was, I watched this one video with Marquez, and he was talking about how most Chinese phone, maybe not all of them, but most Chinese, like the major Chinese phone companies, like Huawei, Xiaomi, and Oppo.
The spy phones?
Yeah. The apparently they're, you know how like Google has like True Tone?
Okay.
And I think Apple has their own version of that, or
yep.
I'm not sure if Samsung does, but whatever. But their version of True Tone is because they want skin color is a huge thing there.
Massive.
And so they put into the camera, these algorithm in the camera app actually shoots it. So like your skin tone is actually should match what they think.
Not like your skin tone should be. Almond tone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I mean, the Asian countries, India included, is obsessed with having
obsessed
light.
Obsessed with, yeah.
Like, you know, the very, that. Well, you used a really good term one time. Not fair.
Weedish.
Weedish. A Weedish complexion.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's true. Like, if you go there, I've been to India multiple times on television. Major brands here that also exist there have got skin lightening creams and stuff
yep.
that you can get, and they'll freely advertise. Like, you can get 3 shades lighter by next month. We just use this stuff before the wedding.
Yeah,
bleach your skin.
Yeah, I have to admit, like the South Koreans, they know how to make like good skincare products. Like they are obsessed. Like, it's crazy.
South Korea might be light years ahead in when it comes to, like, hair and makeup.
Yeah, and plastic surgery.
And plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know how true it is, because this is a long time ago, but good old maybe I shouldn't mention who it is. But I'll cut that first part out.
Okay.
But a friend of the show who's been here before, who's of South Korean descent, was telling me about how they've perfected the surgery to give them eyelids. Because South Korean people, they have a different type of eyelid.
Yeah.
So there's like the way it kind of moves around. Like you can, that's how
I think it's, tell. I think it's more tucked away.
It is more tucked away. Like, so, yeah. There is no eyelid visible. And they've created a surgery to give themselves like a very like Caucasian, like a white guy eyelid. White lady.
I guess if you're a plastic surgeon, why are you in Canada? Go down there. You'll make tons of money.
You could make a mint.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew a very large black guy one time who made a mint acting in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
He was because he was always the American.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they needed an American or like a motorcycle gang member or something, they would bring him because there's not a lot of black guys. And like, he was a teacher. Mm-hmm. So like, black guys get really good work in South Korean TV shows playing oafish Americans.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The white guys. The only one I've seen in a TV show is Physical 100. There's only one, I think, there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
The Dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that show is so good.
I know.
I'm rewatching it now.
Are you getting back into it?
Yeah.
I'm in there.
I'm in episode 7 again. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm not going fast because I've got a lot of other stuff going on, but it definitely is a highlight of Netflix right now, because it is an honest show. Like, it doesn't seem that they're screwing around too much with there is no storytelling aspect. It's whoever advances without so fun fact, I know somebody who worked on the original version of Survivor, the like Northern Europe, I think it's called Robinson's. It was like the Norway version of it. And they do so much behind the scenes screwing around to get who they want to advance that show.
Mm-hmm.
But they can give benefits that they know are going to be beneficial to certain people. They give family challenges that they know are going to pump certain people up. Food challenges, they know some people are going to need food, and they'll engineer the shit out of it to get who they want to advance. And Physical 100 has none of that.
No.
Like, whether you are a favorite or you're the person the most hated, you will advance or fail based on your own hands.
Yeah. And everyone, feet. Yeah, exactly. And everyone supports each other. It's like, it's honorable.
There's no villains.
It's more like the only people if you're considered villainous is because you're just the biggest and strongest guy. They're like,
right.
But they're like, oh, I can't wait for this challenge. This is going to be good.
Man, I just love the fact, like, even that first episode, when certain people would walk into a room, how in awe other people would be.
Yeah, they're like, I can't believe this person's here.
Right. There was a special forces guy. And then when he saw another Olympian come in, he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. There's like this one guy. He's a dancer. I think he's a South Korean dancer. He's in music videos. or he was backup dancer for this one South Korean like pop act or something like that, right? This guy is like a, like, if you want to design the perfect specimen,
right?
Like good looking, like just slim but ripped and mm-hmm. everything like that. Yeah, like you see all kinds across the entire spectrum of right. like strength, basically. So it's a oh man, that show is just amazing.
It's wild. Mm-hmm. It's just such a treat that you get that kind of, like, I think we talked about it already. There was that Stallone, whatever it was, the Beast or the Beast Challenge, Beast yeah. Master. And it just seems so, like, it's not really.
It's lacking. Once you see that, once you see Physical 100, everything else just seems to, like, it's just lacking.
Right. It yeah. seems artificial. Mm-hmm. Like, everything else seems fake. American Ninja Warrior, where there are 1,000 stories and 1,000 tearjerker tales about, you know, I overcame this yeah. and that. There's none of that.
None of that. It's just more like these people know what they are. They know who they are.
Right.
And they're there to compete.
Yeah, there used to be this thing where you could watch a show. Like now, like I can't. I've never really been a huge fan of the what do they call them, the talent shows,
mm-hmm.
like America's Got Talent or Canada's Got, like none of them. They've never appealed to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
But now more than ever, it feels like all of them are more about the story and the reaction of the of the panel of judges
than what they're able to do.
Like the other day, my mom watched it, so I'm watching it with her, and there's these four guys from like Nigeria or Ghana. These jacked, incredible, athletic black guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing some of the most wild stuff you've seen on stage. And more than they showed them, they showed the audience reaction. And they showed, like, Howie, like, grabbing his big bald head. And Lily Singh with that look on her face, like...
Is that the Canadian one?
Yeah.
Why is she still relevant?
I don't know, man. But I thought, like, I was watching her and I kept thinking
I thought she went away.
I was hoping she would.
Yeah.
But somebody, maybe me, should edit all of her reactions... And then instead of something cool happening on stage, it should be like just a goat.
Yeah.
Like just one goat chewing cud. And then show her reaction to that, like the wildest stuff. Because she looks like, I mean, she looks like somebody just cut somebody's head off and put it back on. And then walked around again. And you're boring me, lady. You're so boring.
Yeah. Lily Singh, oh my God, like she's just.
She's killing me.
She's the new, she's this generation's Monica Deol.
Oh, brutal. That's a hard one.
That's a hard one.
Hard hit. That's a deep cut for the Indian fans. Well, you just got burned.
We ran into her in Vancouver like years and years and years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was pretty arrogant to us actually.
She didn't.
Yeah, she went to my brother and she said, "Oh, but she didn't say anything to him.
Mm-hmm.
She just says, if you want my autograph, I'll be on my car."
Oh wow! And so she said it at him.
Yeah. And Paul's and my brother's like, I think he said something like, he goes, I would, but I don't know who you are.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So he cut her right down.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah. And then everyone's, then my cousins are in the background. They're like, yeah, Electric Circus sucks.
Electric Circus sucks. She just kind of like disappeared after a little while, right? Like she was like,
I don't know what she's doing now. Yeah.
Big personality. And then like,
Circle Helix?
Yeah, man, for sure. And like all the Canadian TV fans knew who she was.
Yep.
And everybody liked her. And all of a sudden, she just kind of disappeared.
Yep, she did.
That's beautiful.
But, I don't know. They're, she's... But that new, that Lily Singh, she was just like, just talk about hijack of Me Too.
She
was so Me Too. It was just like...
Was she?
Oh, she's awful. There's a reason why she got canceled. Yeah.
Yeah, that show wasn't good. And I mean, that's not like, that's not hating.
Comedy
like,
hack.
Haters, like, hate.
No.
There are a lot of people out there that, like, in our community that we support. I think there's ton. The more the merrier. Not Calpan or Kandabalu or the other one who I hate all the time. The guy who made Dirty Laundry. I just shit on him.
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah.
I shit on him. Adi Shankar. I shit on those guys all the time. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot... Apu's great. There are lots of people who are really good, and we prop them all up. And there are some who are like, I don't hate you out of, like, you're part of the community thing. So it's like, you know, you hate your own... I just don't think you're good at what you do.
No, it's just you could be. I don't care what sex you are, what race you are,
nothing.
I don't care about any of that. But if you put out crap, yeah, you're gonna be called on it.
I don't like the idea of propping certain people up as like a diversity hire either. Like, you know, we need more diversity in our crew. You know what we should do is we need more diversity. Who's that lady on?
Why don't you hire YouTube? Why don't you hire the best person for the job?
The best person for the job.
Yeah,
right.
It's like start with that.
Buddies of the Rock.
Yeah. Was that?
Get her, because they only got her because she was buddies of The Rock.
Oh,
the
really?
Rock, yeah, The Rock commented on one of her videos, like, because she's a YouTube personality, right? Lily Singh got big on YouTube first, and she got buddy-buddy with The Rock, and all of a sudden, they were like, oh, there's like a brown lady in Canada who we can put on our television program. We'll diversify. Canadian, Indian, female. Friends with another Canadian, kind of brown male.
Yeah. It's cringeworthy when I hear her talk. I'm just like, or she tries to tell jokes about like toxic white men and stuff like that. I'm like, why don't you just shut up? Like no one, like,
I don't know.
She's like you can like, you have a valid point about that. I can understand that. But the way she said it was just like men are the problems of society.
I'm old
like,
white men.
Yeah. Right? I'm like, oh my God, just shut up.
It's like, okay, look, I'm not going to deny that old white guys are a real pain in the ass sometimes.
Oh no, but like, it's,
they
it's,
are, but.
Oh, like, I'm just like, I'm paraphrasing, but like, it was so much more deeper than that. And no, she had no idea what she was talking about.
But there's like an overt virtue signal, like cheap laugh that you get.
Yeah, it sounded like she was just riding that train.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's not kind of like, it's what I just said. It's the cheap laugh.
Yeah.
It's the easy joke.
It's the easy joke.
It's the easy way to get yourself noticed. And all of a sudden everybody rides your little, rides that wave.
Yeah.
That virtue signaling wave. Mm-hmm. Right. I like it. I think that's kind of like, that's why they always eat each other. Right.
Yeah.
You know, you live long enough.
Yeah. You end up eating yourself alive.
Right. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That's kind of in line with some of the stuff that I had here. I was talking about the whole idea of, like if there is a next generation of the internet. Like we got AI is coming in super hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like ChatGPT 4 or 5 or 6, whatever the next iterations are going to be, they're going to take away like a lot of, they're going to add to and take away to a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, ChatGPT is actually, I find it useful.
It's definitely useful, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like there's going to be people
it cuts my workload in half.
Oh, for sure. Like for you, it's like, mm-hmm. for guys in a field like yours, it's going to be such a great tool.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be people who use it maliciously as well, right?
To create. Oh, for sure, yeah. As with anything.
With anything.
Yeah.
But as a human, I think it's time for, like, everybody. Just be kinder, man. Don't be greedy and try really hard to be kind. That's it.
That's the moral that everyone should be following.
It should be the new way forward.
You can't count on people.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
People, especially good people.
Yeah,
like quote unquote good people.
Oh yeah, people you thought were good, who were good people.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, like it was up to like United States, for example, right? It's up to liberals to defend real democratic values.
Right.
They didn't do that.
Oh, they don't know how to do that.
They don't do that when it comes to like dealing with like people of color and accepting other people's religions and stuff like that.
Right.
They're quick to defend without being able to criticize.
Right.
Yeah.
No, dude, that's a really good way to put it. They're quick to defend without being able to criticize.
Yeah.
That's kind of like how you see them not talk about certain subjects that are in line with subjects they defended already.
Yeah.
Like they don't know how, like in the Western world, in the West, like I mean like straight up North America, like Western Europe, they're very fast to point a finger at anybody for being like an Islamophobe or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Right?
Yeah.
But then the second they see the opposite, like there's like a very left agenda happening in like Muslim countries where women can't go to school, or if they wear a hijab wrong or show an ankle, like a bunch of men in a group that like a police force designed to hunt those women down, hunt them, beat them and murder them. It's like, battery acid in their face. Yeah. All of a sudden you're straddling a line that you don't know how to straddle and you don't say a thing about it.
Yeah.
Like the liberals here don't know how to criticize those like hardcore right wing extremist groups that just oppress the shit out of women in their own countries.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between being able to criticize and or attack.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge chasm between the two.
Right.
And so they're finding it difficult to like really criticize. You know, let's say Islam, for example, mm-hmm. right? They find it, they want to defend it because they don't want to be, they claim not to be racist, okay?
Right.
But they're unable to criticize bad ideas to help reform the Islamic religion, to help to maybe modernize it.
Right.
So that's where they're stuck, and they don't know how to get out of that vicious circle of like, that tornado of ideas. Like, you know what? No, you can't. This is not true about Islam. They're not doing all this stuff here. Like it's bad to criticize. You're criticizing their religion. You're saying like all this stuff here, but like, no, modern Islamists, I think fair to say that modern Islamists want to modernize the Islam religion as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
progressives, right?
Yeah. Progressives, but they don't want to liberals in the United States, especially who say that they're all for like, protect the Islamic religion, you can't, but you can't say anything bad about it. So people criticize it, like all these ideas, these outdated ideas are like, no, you're just criticizing the religion.
Right. Blanket good.
Blanket good.
Nothing bad. Yeah. You can't talk shit about. Meanwhile,
yeah,
if like one, if one actor talks about how they're true to their faith and they happen to be Christian,
mm-hmm.
rip them apart.
Oh yeah.
Rip him though. He's a fucking Nazi. Like, yeah. Chris Pratt is the worst Chris. Because he just happens to be a part, like a Christian in a church that may or may not have had members
mm-hmm.
who don't like some gay people. So yeah. Therefore, he's evil.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's because criticizing Christianity has been grandfathered in.
Right.
It's a thing that everyone can do. There's no like real backlash about it. But like, you know what? Yeah, not every religion has its own flaws. History has shown it.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone like say like, you know what, it's fine to like, you know, make fun of, there's every religion has its own
right
like, quirks, stuff like that. Right. Whereas, and the violence that Christianity has, spawned, I guess, for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
that happened a long time ago.
A long time ago.
The violence that Islam caused
mm-hmm.
happened a long time ago, but it happened also recently.
Right.
But you're still not allowed to criticize the ideas of it.
You're especially not allowed to point out any flaws in the system.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, like unless you're having like serious debate between people who know what they're talking about.
Right.
But if you're not, if you just openly say like, you know, Islam has like, you know, it does have its problems, as with any religion.
Right.
But if you say that out loud to people who are going to be triggered by it,
for sure,
they're going to try to get you canceled or whatever it is.
Absolutely. So, yeah. It's like you're not wrong in saying that it's a religion that is based on the concept of peace and like brotherly and sisterly love.
It could well be.
I think it is. Yeah. I think all religions are. I think all religions at their core, and this is why I hate them, because they always get screwed over, like organized religion. Organized religion always gets, like I said last time, it gets co-opted. Everything good eventually gets co-opted by the bad.
Mm-hmm.
I always bring up that one lady in the mist. They just killed that one lady in the mist in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Was it Marsha Gay Harden? Whoever played her. If they just took her out in the beginning, she wouldn't have ruined all the good that was going on. But because those groups always get co-opted. And I think that's the point. Like, religions at their core are meant to be good.
Yeah. It's like, finish.
Yeah, and they get co-opted and destroyed from the inside by people who just decide, well, there are ways we can use this to our advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to fight it because nobody wants to be scared of, like, nobody wants the wrath of God, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Because I think religion started because, like, there was just chaos everywhere. And you needed, like, some sort of structure to be put into place so people didn't, like, run around and, like, kill each other and just maim each other and just destroy the entire environment. So, like, you know, a set of rules was created, things for people to follow. Very simple things. You know, 10 commandments, very simple things to follow.
Very simple.
And, then every other religion like does it.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, nothing good stays good forever.
Right.
It's because like, there's always going to be someone who's going to, you know, spike the punch and just be like, and just ruin it for everybody.
Exactly.
So,
but if you're
it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a religion. You can go around the whole spectrum of anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about like the ideas that Steve Jobs had at the beginning
mm-hmm.
and like what Apple is now.
Yeah.
It went from being like, let's give people good stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, let's give them good things to make their life better. Mm-hmm. Look at what Steve Jobs did in his timeline as a human being. He revolutionized like 7 different industries.
Yep.
Like from like animation with Pixar. Film, like motion picture, the way cameras work, audio, the way music works, the way your
How you share music.
How you share music. Well, if you want to just wild your mind out for a little bit, look at the way record labels reacted to when Apple decided we're going to make this one device
mm-hmm.
and we'll have all of your music. We'll do the DRM thing. Like, Apple revolutionized an industry. It's starting to fizzle out now, but the way music was labeled, produced, and shared, and then giving artists the ability to put their own music out there.
Yeah.
Like, they really, it's up and down, but it's pretty wild. But then you look at what Apple has become,
mm-hmm.
where it's like just a new, like pushing the idea of a new device every year, bigger and better, holding certain things back, giving certain things out. And then we dole out little bits at a time.
Yeah, we have the best in the next 10 years, but you're going to get it you're going to get a little bit every single year.
Right.
And then we're going to move the next 10 years. We're going to kick the hand down the road and just be like, you know what, here's a little bit more,
right.
A little bit there, a little bit there.
And then all of that turns into slave built phones and a fucking cobalt mine.
Yeah, because the thing is that they don't need that island They could create a notchless phone. Why can't they? They could. Apple fans are clamoring for it. But as soon as they, because every other phone company does not have a notch on their phone. Okay.
How about this? How about let's leave the notch behind for a second. Not to interrupt your thought. Okay, go ahead. No, finish your thought.
Yeah, just to say, like, and then when they finally remove the notch, they'll be like, it'll be like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It'll be this like revolutionary thing, and they'll probably end up going back to what like an S8 look like.
Yeah,
like it'll be just like a small bar in the front, the very nice camera, and a very small pinhole you never don't even see.
Yeah,
housing the like basically what your phone looks like is what they're all going to end up looking like.
Yeah,
but what I'm getting at is like they could. The notch aside, all that innovation stuff, all that aside, do you really need a brand new chipset or a brand new software set every single year? Like, nobody uses it.
Nobody uses it.
Potential. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know about you, but when I get my new phone, like, I bought this thing last year, about a year and a bit ago. I did not update it. I don't update my phones. Nobody's hacking my phone. I'm not looking at porn. I'm not flooding it to shitty websites. I'm not downloading garbage. I'm not getting junk files I don't know about.
Yeah.
So my phone is as quick and as safe as it was on day one. But there are some people out there who are big pieces of shit and they burn their phones out.
Yeah.
So like you've got these security patches and the weight of the OS gets deeper and heavier and heavier. You can still do the security patches without a gigantic OS update. Give me a phone and an OS update every 3 years. Like what Windows used to be.
Yeah.
You don't need a new version of Windows every year. It's going to just blow your computer out and destroy your software. And then you need a new computer.
Yeah. I guess the major thing is that when your whole, when 60% of your, 60% of your how much value your company,
your bottom line.
Then yeah, your bottom line is your iPhones. And so if you're not bringing one, they've developed this business practice where like, if they're not putting one out every year,
right.
They don't make any money.
Right.
So, which is sad.
Well, they make money because people will always break their phone, need a new phone. More people come to your device, more people show up. So you are making money, but you're not making that leap, like a gigantic leap.
Oh yeah. Like
year over year.
Yeah. Like if you have an iPhone 13, why would you get a 14?
Exactly.
Yeah. There's no point.
You don't need a 14.
No.
You know, if you have an iPhone 11, I don't think you need a 14.
Yeah. Like if you are a, if you're a tech person, you have to have the biggest and best because you do like, you know, you use it to its full capacity. Fuck right. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Right.
Yeah. Like there's other ways to like, get around those. Like, you know, if I don't want, okay, it doesn't have like the newest, it just doesn't say 14 on it. I can't say right. I have an iPhone 14. Right. I'm like the 13 has the same cameras.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
But if you don't have a 14, you're poor.
Yeah. And it doesn't have the A15 in it. The
whatever the chip is.
The chipset or something like that, right? I'm like, why do you care?
It doesn't matter.
No.
It does not matter.
It's a luxury item.
It's a luxury item. And yeah. They work exactly, like, I mean, you really, like, nobody even knows, like, the majority of people. When you see those Instagrammers or the selfie queens and all these people using their phone, they don't know how to use the camera, that thing anyway.
No.
Honestly, I think they're too stupid.
No.
To be completely realistic.
Yeah, they just launch the camera app, put it in auto mode, and then they just record like themselves doing stupid shit.
They go. And they do their dumb shit in a gym somewhere, and they get yelled at by some guy.
Yep.
Because they're in the way, everybody's way. You're like all of you people out there who are using it and complaining how you need the best and the newest. You don't know how to use it at all.
No.
You're not missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
says the guy with the S23 Ultra.
Exactly. So what does it take? Like, because the industry won't change. So how does somebody come and disrupt the industry to be like, look, we don't need a new device being produced by every company every year.
Every year.
So because really, like, there's a human cost. Whether people like to hear it or not, there's an actual human cost of hundreds of thousands of slaves who are working to make your phone or get you the resources for your phone. So does it take somebody like, who's that Bezos's ex-wife there? That's Mackenzie, whatever her name
Davis?
Is.
Davis? No, that's the lady from Terminator, that actress.
Yeah. So does it take somebody like her, who is going to be a billionaire in perpetuity, right? Does she show up to the Congo or to wherever the mines are, and does she just decide like, okay, I'm going to pay all of you the wage you're getting now this year, just don't work? Does it take some wild disruptor like that? Like, wouldn't that be incredible if some wild disruptive billionaire who is just out to do good, rolls up to Africa to like the biggest Apple resource pit, Samsung, Apple, I'm sure they all use the same one. And they just roll up and say, hey, the scar on the face of Mother Earth is getting bigger. So how about I throw $1 billion at it? Because I've got 50 billion. I'll just throw $1 billion at it this year and tell them all not to work and I'll still pay them.
Yeah.
I'll be the resource that they get. And let's just see what happens. Let's just disrupt the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would that ever happen?
Oh, she'd probably get sued.
You think she'd get sued?
I think so.
I mean, really, like, what is she doing to get sued?
People will find a way.
She's just giving free money away. Just rolling up and being like, you know what? Here's a line. Make a line. Free money.
Anyone who's professionally pissed off will sue her.
Right. Yeah. They'll find some way to, like...
Yeah, they won't win. Like, for example, like, Microsoft's getting sued by mm-hmm. gamers.
Oh. That's the... To me, that's the most bizarre... Like, and even their argument against that.
Mm-hmm.
You had 10 years. You couldn't build a better Call of Duty in 10 years?
Fair enough, Call of Duty, right? Like, yeah. Call of Duty might even exist in 10 years.
Yeah, right?
So...
You're telling me that... But it's a good argument.
Yeah.
I mean, you're telling me that you couldn't get your shit together when you saw this happening, that in 2 years, 3 years, you couldn't put together a better game, knowing how to make games.
Yeah.
To go up against the game that we bought. You're just going to bitch about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I just don't understand. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. Ridiculous. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's atrocious. Egregious.
Preposterous.
Oh,
good old Jackie Child.
Yeah.
That guy needs his own show.
Yeah, he does.
Like Frasier got his spinoff. He should get his own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think like that's to me that is like the most egregious thing is how there is nobody who's thinking about the human cost. And just in all the philanthropy the world pretends to do out of the goodness, like corporations, all the philanthropy they do out of what they claim to be the goodness of their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That nobody is thinking about the human cost. Because I would gladly, I mean, I know that's Palm or Pebble. Pebble's coming back with a new phone that's going to be like organic plastics, sustainable, very like, you know, not a modern chipset. It's just going to be a phone that surfs the web okay
mm-hmm.
and takes okay photos and makes calls. So you're never at a loss. You can always communicate.
Yeah.
I'll do that. You give me a $300 phone that I know is okay, not top of the line. And it is ethical, 100% ethical. I'm in.
Isn't there like a thing called the Zero Phone?
There is, but even those guys, like the battery still uses it. Like,
okay.
I mean, we're still using cobalt as a stabilizer in all the lithium that we use anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's always going to be something, right?
Yeah.
But you just get me something that's ethical, built with non-toddler hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any toddler working on my phone.
Mm. By the way, I have to say that I got asked for a movie yesterday.
You got asked for a movie?
I asked to be, I was taken to a movie.
Oh, I thought you were in him. I was like, are you going to be in a movie?
I might be working on The Last of Us.
You were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, your company is.
Yeah. So I might be doing this, the safety on it.
The safety.
But, but yeah, I saw John Wick.
John Wick. And are we doing a, okay. Hold on.
You could ask me whatever you want.
Well, we've done a half an hour's worth of just like shitting all over stuff.
Yeah.
Let's make the next half an hour.
Okay.
Positivity.
Okay. Sounds good.
I don't want any spoilers.
No.
I'm very much a fan of the John Wick franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if it was Fast and Furious, I don't care the spoilers. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to watch it and have fun.
Yeah.
What is your honest spoiler-free review of the 3 hour plus masterpiece?
It is
John Wick.
It is the, I'll say this. It's the best action movie I've seen in since Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them's ballsy.
I would say that. Yeah. There were scenes where I was just like, I was watching the screen. I was like, whoa. I'm like, whoa. Like, holy Jesus Christ.
Wait, it felt good. It turned you into a lawyer.
Yeah. It felt like I was getting punched in the face.
Really?
Yeah. Like the pacing is very good,
mm-hmm.
but for that movie. Now, there are scenes in there that will just blow you away. Like how the hell did they do this? Like these continuous shots.
Really?
That are just like, it goes on. Like first of all, there's three, it's like hard boiled. There's like three major like action set pieces that are just spectacular.
Like three acts.
Yeah. Three acts basically. So basically three shootouts. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is the Osaka internet, the Osaka,
you almost in cyberpunk there, didn't you?
Yeah. It's called the Osaka, concierge, their hotel, you know, the one in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have one in Osaka.
Right.
And that siege of Osaka takes 20 minutes to half an hour of full on blown violence.
Oh my God.
It is crazy. And I mean like katanas, guns,
so
nunchucks, you know, like Glocks, machine guns. It just goes on and on and on and on. And then you go to Berlin nightclub, and then afterwards you go to Paris, and then like it's just, and there's while John Wick is being chased, he's just mowing down people like you wouldn't even believe, and he's breaking them literally in half. And he's like, and
He is the new Blade.
yeah, it's crazy. And there's one scene which is one of the best action scenes I've ever seen.
Please tell me it's a top-down scene.
It's the top-down scene.
Yes, man.
Yeah.
I was as a 80s and 90s gamer on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I was so jazzed for that scene.
It's crazy too, because it starts out like he's going up the stairs in this house, and it shows him just blowing people away. Then he just picks up this gun that just it just it's designed to blow a human being up. And he just and then the it, it and they start the music from the first John Wick movie when he's in
Oh,
the club.
that
Yeah, and
yeah.
then it slowly the camera there just goes up to the top like this, and it points down, and he goes in between rooms and all this stuff, and you can see the people coming at him,
Oh my God.
and it's like a mouse trap,
Oh
and
my
like
God.
it's just like, and he's just like, I can't even explain what he does to people in that movie. He just blows them away.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, like even in the we're like, holy crap, like what the hell is this? And
It makes me so happy.
John Wick is he's the man. He makes Rambo look like Mother Teresa. Yeah.
You know what? I think it's safe to say that he might be the greatest movie action hero of all time.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think he's up there with like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, but in a different way.
Yeah,
Indiana Jones is an adventure.
Adventure. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
Indiana Jones he's not exactly an action hero.
No,
He's
the greatest adventure hero.
he's the greatest adventure hero.
Yeah.
It is the greatest adventure franchise, the Indiana Jones stuff. But when it comes to straight up, like guy who has no problem murder, death, kill. Two guns, doesn't a knife, doesn't care if it's a dog, man, woman, beast, child, whatever it is. If there's a gun in his face, he gonna kill it.
Yeah,
It's John Wick.
John Wick, he was ready for action. She's like, "Do you have a gun?" He's like, he pulls it out. He's like, "Let's go."
Let's go.
And he
Like
just,
John Rambo is reluctant.
yeah,
he doesn't want to be the action hero.
yeah.
The only other guy who comes close to John Wick is the other greatest John, and not McClane, John Matrix.
John Matrix, yeah.
Command, because he didn't give a shit, man. He's a murder machine,
Yeah,
and
he,
John Wick is a murder machine.
yeah, but I'll, but I think John Wick's body count is higher.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many people were on Valverde, but I mean, like John Wick's gone to like continents.
Yeah, he's gone to continent. So it feels like kind of like a James Bond movie where he just goes to like all the, and it's like, it's the set pieces are so good. This movie is, what was his kill count? It was over 140.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big kill count.
Yeah.
That's bigger than Commando. I think Commando is like 80 something.
Oh yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. This movie is just like, he's
One
just,
movie.
he kills, there's per minute, I think he kills like, he just, oh man, just the, and like the thing is they too, that they changed what this movie is. Like, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but like what they did is that they changed it so some of the people he's fighting have armor now. So he has to find a different way of killing them.
They have his armor?
Yeah, they can, especially in Japan.
Yeah.
And I won't spoil for you, but the way he kills them is like, it's like, yeah.
Just top notch.
Oh, I got this. I'm good.
Oh, you got that? Yeah, I just love how every
Highly
John Wick
recommend it,
movie. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I had no doubt.
it's the best action one out of all of them. So if you want to see a good John Wick movie, just action.
Yeah.
It does have a lot more heart than the second and third one because he does talk about his wife and stuff like that. So I think like emotionally wise plus action, I think the first one is still I think my favorite.
Right.
But if you want to see like one that just has is just out of control action, you could see where if you look at one and just see how much world building they did, you kind of forget about like two and three. You're just like, because two is still great. Third one is like my least favorite.
And that's not even a bad thing.
No.
Like three is the least favorite for me as well. Three is the it had the least amount of pop, I think, because it I always think of three as just an extension of two.
Yeah.
I kind of actually mix up three and two and three together. I forgot that number three was one of the dogs. I thought number two was one of the dogs.
Yeah.
Because like they're one movie to me. But I see how like, yeah, three is not the favorite.
Yeah.
But it's still one of the best action movies
Yeah,
ever made.
it's my least favorite John Wick movie.
It's like,
Yeah.
great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's my least favorite John Wick movie, which makes it still one of my favorite action movies.
Yeah, and it's Keanu Reeves is just he's balls to the wall. He just there's no and he's going after the table.
Good
He
for
does
him.
not, he does not give a fuck, and he just mows people down.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I was so bummed out when he cut his finger off, but like to see that it hasn't really like slowed him down.
I'll have to go see it if you wanted to see it.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go see it.
Yeah, so see it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm 100% down.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. My mom is a huge John Wick fan. She's like I said, one of her favorite movies is The Dark Knight. Like, she loves action movies. She watches wrestling on Monday and Friday and yells. WrestleMania's coming up. She can't wait. Like, mm-hmm. She loves violence. So I showed her the first John Wick, kind of thinking like,
I think anybody can enjoy the first John Wick.
And she loved it. Mm-hmm. And then I showed her number two. I told her, like, you know, number two is a little bit, like, it's a little bit more personal. It gets a little bit more, like that aggro, hurts your guts kind of, especially like it kills the guy in the hotel and all that kind of stuff. She loved it. Number three, she loved it. So I was thinking, I'm just going to take her to go see John
Wick. I wish you got to go see it.
Birthday's coming up.
Like, oh, yeah. Go see it at Landmark. Yeah.
Let's go see. Mm-hmm. Let's go put on the old John Wick there and sit in the theater and watch 3 hours of kill.
Yeah.
So,
actually, you know what? I was thinking about it. I'm like, I should have worn a suit to go see that movie.
I think you should dress up.
Just as a homage to John Wick.
An homage.
Yeah.
Show the proper respect.
Yeah.
To Senior Wick.
Holy shit. Like, it's just.
In that, there is the downside to all of it. Lance Reddick died.
Yeah.
60 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, a huge part of the franchise. Mm-hmm. He's in this as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's.
They dedicated the movie to him.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. What a bummer there, though. 60 years old, just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Health complications to unknown illnesses,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, he just passed away in his sleep, but yeah.
Yeah.
But
that didn't, like sadden me. It scared me.
Kind of in a sense, yeah. Yeah, it's just more like, you know what? Just maintain a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
Because you could go at any time.
And he looked like he's in great shape.
Yeah.
And just like that, you never know. You know what? Be kind. Don't be greedy. Maintain a healthy lifestyle. Because you could literally drop dead.
Yeah.
At any point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Scary.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't drop dead, then maybe Chris Rock will green light all the comedians in the world to destroy you in their next special.
Holy crap.
Did you see the Marlon Wayans special?
No, I didn't see that one.
Marlon Wayans goes after Will Smith. I just saw it on YouTube. I didn't know when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a clip of Marlon Wayans' new HBO special.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, it's like, at first you don't know what side he's on.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, well, you know, I was in love with Jada. We met when we were both 19 on the set of In Living Color, blah, 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 blah. Builds his whole thing up. And then he just, like, he goes into horse stance,
mm-hmm.
and he just fires off karate punches into Will Smith's stomach.
Oh.
And then he, like, Muhammad Ali, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. You're like, geez, man, maybe you should lay off. Like, just maybe take a step back. But then you realize that the Godfather, Chris Rock, was like, green light.
Yeah.
And everybody's hitting Will Smith now.
Yeah, it's the thing. If I was Will Smith, I think I might have talked about this earlier. Is that if I was Will Smith, knowing that Chris Rock is out there, mm-hmm. he hasn't reached out to me, he hasn't said anything in public,
mm-hmm.
and it's been a year since the Oscars, I'm like, okay, this is brewing.
Yeah,
something's coming. There's a storm coming. And then when it hit like a freight train.
It did, because it was
It was pretty bad.
There's no sympathy. Like, we've talked about that kind of, like, the Will Smith, what he's, like, he's marked out to his own gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
The persona has grown so big now that he's that guy, right?
He's that guy.
And it's like, nobody has sympathy for that guy. They may have had sympathy for, like, 6 degrees of separation, Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Even I Am Legend Will Smith. There could have been, like, there's something going on in his life. He's not handling shit well. And then he reaches out to Chris Rock afterwards. Like, apologizes, like, look, I fucked up. This is on me. I don't know what was going on in my head. She shot me a look, and, you know, she has crazy eyes.
Or I would have been like, sorry, go finish your
point. No, but then there would have been sympathy.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, like, he could have reached out and been honest about it. Like, even though everyone knows that his wife drove him crazy,
mm-hmm.
It's not something he can say to them. Like, he said, like, you know what, man, it's my marriage. He's like, she's driving me fucking nuts, man. Like, driving I just, yeah, like, this, she's the reason why, like, I can't have nice things or whatever it is. Or
she's a succubus.
She's crazy. She's like, she's driving me nuts. And I snapped. And you don't owe me anything. I don't deserve anything I get from you. But, right. Like, I'm so sorry. But I don't expect you to accept this. But, yeah, I'm stuck.
I'm between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good way to put it. You know what? That's actually, like,
yeah,
it's very basic the way you put it,
mm-hmm.
but it is the base of what his apology could have been.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, the central nervous system.
Yeah, it's apology. Yeah, because that's, like, that's an admitting weakness.
Yeah,
and which is fine.
People sympathize.
Yeah, like obviously, if you can't feel like you can't say that in public.
Right.
Like, why don't you just get rid of her? I know that's hard. That's way hard to do than say. But,
you don't even have to get rid of her. You honestly, like.
Or put her in her place.
You maybe don't even need to do that. If both of them just, like, went out of their way to say, look, we did a lot of things wrong leading up to this.
Yeah.
We did a lot of things wrong leading up to this. We got way too familiar with our audience. We said the wrong things out in public that maybe altered the way both of us were thinking at the time. And this was the tipping point.
Yeah.
Like, you literally watched us on this thing that we built up that should never have been built up. And the tipping point happened. And Chris Rock was a victim in a situation. Yeah,
that's when the powder keg blew.
That's when it blew. Yeah. And we should never have let it get to that point.
Yeah.
If you publicly do that, all of a sudden everybody's on your side.
Yeah. They'd be like, yeah, they just admitted what we already thought.
Right.
But they came out and said that. Like, they said, you know what? They're taking responsibility for it.
Yeah.
They didn't take any responsibility for anything.
Nothing.
So.
Everybody else is wrong.
Yeah.
We'll just climb up and everybody else is wrong. Like, would you, man, you've got one of the greatest mouth users. Like, one of the greatest mind-to-mouth connections on the face of the earth with, like, biting, violent wit. That's the guy who you chose to climb up on.
Yeah.
Like, when Chris Rock did that thing after it was all done, he's like, I could, and then he didn't at the Oscars. You're like, oh, in a year from now, within this year, we're going to hear something. He's going to destroy this man.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not pressing charges. You just give me a year.
Yep.
Then we'll see what's worse than pressing charges.
You just revive my career.
Yeah, like Jim Carrey was like, if you asked me, I would have sued him for $100 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's in the public now.
It's out there. Like, everybody saw, like, a public assault.
Yep.
And then not just that, but when you think about how, because comedians do get people rushing them on stage all the time. Like, afterwards, you saw that, I don't know if you saw a video of that.
Dave Chappelle?
No, the Chappelle thing for sure happened recently, right?
All right there? Got a good little
doing crack my back.
Oh, crack your back.
Mm-hmm. There's a comedian from, like, 1987 or 88.
Mm-hmm.
He's an older guy. Well, he looks older in the video. But by older, I mean, like, he's a 1988, 35.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently he was a Vietnam vet. He's seen a bunch of stuff. He's a guitar player. He's doing his little thing on stage. And this is an old VHS that you're watching. Old 4x3. And he's talking to somebody off camera. He's like, don't do it.
Don't do it.
And the guy comes up and this dude decides in the moment, the comedian, to grab his guitar like the honky tonk man. And he waits for this dude in the audience to rush him on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And he just full blown with a real guitar, just top down, smokes him. And you see the guitar, like, you don't see it happen, but you see debris come into the field of the camera.
Oh.
And then he gets back on and he's holding the camera and they're holding the guitar and it's all messed up. And he asks the audience, like, he had a comment, didn't he? And obvious, like,
yeah.
I don't know why this happens, but it always happens to, like, comedians or like a security guard or a cop where there's an asshole being an asshole. And everybody is like, oh, look, an asshole being an asshole. And everybody's shitting on the guy until he assaults somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the cop or the comedian or whoever it is who's getting assaulted fights back. Mm-hmm. And the crowd turns on the victim.
Yeah.
They turn on the person being assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened in this comedy show. Everybody turned on the comedian. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's a dude at work on stage and he's getting assaulted. So he fights back and now he's the villain. He's the villain in the situation. No. He should have murdered that dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. I don't know. Okay, we'd see what I did there. As I took a fun thing. I just went.
Yeah, I think we're going to focus on good things.
Right back into anger again.
Yeah.
I had a lot going on my plate today.
That's okay.
Well, we'll finish on some fun stuff. Let's see what these. Okay, so this. Just hear me out. I know we've got all this, like, wild, like, you know, what seems to be on the road to the Running Man reality show stuff happening. MILF Manor. MILF Manor is a thing now, right?
Yeah.
It's awful. And yeah, the whole idea of MILF Manor is you got all these, like, broads and they're all kind of like, they're way past their prime. And he's got the young guys are in there. How the young guys are all, like, somehow related to some other MILF in the manor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you might be scronking your mom's friend or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never get a DILF Manor.
No.
Like, there will never be a, like, why, like, double, so why not, let's just disrupt the system and do a DILF Manor. Let's get a bunch of guys who don't realize their skin elasticity is about to go to shit.
Mm-hmm.
They overly tan, they're wealthy.
Yeah.
They're DILF-y because they have maybe that, like, middle management money.
Yeah.
So, like, they can throw cash around, but they can't buy an island.
Yeah, they have liquidity.
They have liquidity, right? Yeah. Let's get a bunch of those Dilfy motherfuckers around and just get, like, some, like, wild skanks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, everybody's like, oh, that's bad. You can't do that. You can't get some, like, 22-year-olds.
Just some whores.
Just some, like, straight-up hoochies.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of maybe related to Dilfs, so it's still as creepier still. But then you throw, like, Viagra and cocaine into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And you give the girls money if they can induce a heart attack into the Dilfs. That's how you win.
That's how you win.
You kill the Dilf.
That's true. Yeah, you kill the Dilf.
Yeah. Because you can even call it that. Don't call it Dilf Manor. Call it Kill the Dilf.
Yeah.
And that's I would much rather watch that.
I'd rather watch it.
And we're now pushing the reality show shit closer to Running Man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to die. Like, have a dude with the things, the paddles.
Mm-hmm.
Have that guy on there. Like, have the guy close by who can zap them back to life.
Yeah.
Like, have a doctor in the room in the closet smoking a cigarette.
Have an AED available.
Have it ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching, like, the gold digger. He's watching her just like pound the shit out of this coked up Viagra. Like, you know, it's probably like losing elasticity, so it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just like smashing the dilf.
Like a real housewife.
Like a real house. Well, like a real house. Like a the real one who supplants the real house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, the real house. What do they call them? In the Sopranos, the girlfriend of the.
Oh,
they had a name for him. Like the. The gangster's mall, they have the thing. They have
yeah, there is a term for them, yeah. They use,
the
yeah.
side piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like a real side piece. And she just like tries to induce a heart attack on a Dilf.
And what's his name? Calls them aliens.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Not Ray Charles, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair and aliens. Yeah, just like an alien destroyer, like a Ric Flair type.
Yeah.
Like what he was when he came to WWE,
mm-hmm.
like he's a little too tanned, the skin elasticity is starting to go. He can't really hit the 25-year-olds anymore.
Yeah, red-faced after 5 minutes.
Red-faced.
Now you're red-faced, red-bodied.
The whole body's just red.
Yeah.
All the time, the flop. Yeah. He does the flop.
Yeah, the flop. The flare flop is the best. The
flare flop is the best. You've got to pound that Dilf until he does a flare flop.
Yeah.
Like, he gets up to go take a pee with his, like, rapidly, like flopping, flaccid member. And then he just, like, flare-flops. And the AED guy comes in and has to, like, jolt him back to life again.
Yeah. You know what the thing about the flare-flop is? It's hilarious. I was watching that one where, like, he was talking to Stone Cold Steve Austin. And not to go off point, but, like, he's, you talk about, they were, like, reviewing that when he was in the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And the one he won. And he's, like, remember when he threw, like, I think he threw Big Boss Man or one of those guys outside of the ring. And he was like so tired. He went like this. He's like, and he did the flare flop. Usually when you flop, you like the first thing you want to do is protect yourself.
No.
He literally fell flat on his face.
The flare flop is all about face to mat contact.
Yeah, face to mat. Yeah.
He goes straight down.
That was hilarious. I was like laughing. I was laughing my ass off.
Ric Flair is great.
Yeah.
Ric Flair is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my idea.
Yeah.
Now my idea is you need to like kill the Dilf.
Yeah.
That you get this like, don't shit on Milf Manor. It is what it is. It's out there.
Yeah.
But then all those people from that Bachelor in Paradise,
mm-hmm.
like you watch a commercial for that. You can't watch that commercial with kids in the room.
No.
I mean, it's basically softcore happening on, it's Cinemax at like 8:30.
8:30. Yeah.
That's right. 8:30 that's exactly PM, what it is. Yeah. Right before the clothes come off,
mm-hmm.
the softcore happens. You know, some French girl like getting Chad Lowe in a hot tub.
Chad Lowe.
It's right before that moment.
Yeah, Body Chemistry 2 and 3.
Body Chemistry 2 and 3. Chad Lowe and Rob Lowe in the 80s, they were all about that. Like, you know, when you couldn't get the channels, it was all like interlaced. It was all fucked around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were the king of that channel.
Yeah, you're trying to focus it. You're like, is that a titty?
Is that? You kind of see Chad Lowe's Mac and me face.
Yeah.
Like, mouth is too big. The thing is too small. His head's too round.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's that Mac and me Chad Lowe. This is definitely Cinemax.
You know what I've noticed subconsciously while we're doing this, there's very little swearing. We've grown.
I curse a lot though. Still, I mean, yeah, I could probably bleep it out.
Yeah,
I have a character to portray.
Yeah, that's yeah. I think I've curbed it.
I think you've curbed it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You are very good, and I'm trying because like you know we want to do the YouTube thing, but because it is the personality.
I think if we were sitting down, and if we were debating. Then to accentuate points, I think I would probably drop more F-bombs.
Oh, if you're sitting down, you do it more.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that like your call to getting us back on the table?
No, it's just like, because remember how you say like...
You, second time you brought
you're
that
saying up. That you like this format because it's more friendly, it's more like... The, I'm like, I've turned a friendlier cheek. Like,
yeah. Hey, oh, yeah, maybe you have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the debate... Was it Hannity and Combs?
Yeah.
He died. That's the guy I was making fun of him last time. He actually died.
Mm-hmm.
He's the poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy.
It didn't really work out for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, life didn't work out for him.
Life didn't work out
at a certain age.
At a certain point, it doesn't work out for mm-hmm. all of us. It just goes.
It is what it is.
He died suddenly. Everybody dies suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that? Was that a Bill Burr or Theo Von? Somebody's like that. He died suddenly. Everybody dies suddenly.
Everybody dies suddenly.
Maybe Seinfeld. You're alive. You're dead.
Yeah.
It's always sudden.
Everyone dies suddenly.
Everybody dies suddenly. You're here till you're not.
Yeah. Sudden death is sudden for everybody.
Sudden for everybody.
Yeah.
No, but I think like I like this format. I think mm-hmm. it works really yep. well for us.
Yeah.
I've definitely tried to curb the cursing a bit. I'm failing miserably because
no, you can swear as much as you want. I don't give a shit.
This is the only place on earth that I do this,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's more about that. Really trying yeah. to pound that exclamation point
mm-hmm.
into some of the things I hate.
Yeah, I think if I was talking about something that I was really not really passionate about, but more like explaining like why it irritates me. Yeah, then I would to accentuate a point. I'm like, why is this so fucking whatever it is? But like so.
Oh yeah, you even had a hard time getting out there.
Yeah,
you really have grown.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
It came with the beard, I think.
It came with the age, came with the beard, or wisdom came with the beard.
Yeah.
Made a bunch of stuff. Ticketmaster is garbage. I keep trying to
Ticketmaster is garbage. I have two tickets to get,
mm-hmm.
and I bought them for Depeche Mode and for Wu-Tang, and yep. it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, and when it does work, it charges you double the amount.
Yeah,
well, I mean you're paying twice as much as the tickets.
Yes, yeah, so exactly. So I have to find a way to like get those tickets. So I have to phone them or do whatever. Like I need access to my tickets.
Robert Smith is trying to disrupt that system. Robert Smith of The Cure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to disrupt the system of Ticketmaster.
Actually, you know what? There's actually another thing I want to talk about is...
hey, let's do that.
Music formats.
Music formats?
So, I was talking to Jason, my...
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Knows his music. Makes music. We've used some of his music.
Yeah.
And he's very good at making music.
He's excellent. He's probably the best I know. He said that there's a guy who's pushing for, I think he's from Japan. I'm not sure where he's from. But apparently what they're pushing for is to get back to getting back to CDs as the main distributor of music.
Okay.
Because there's different ways you can get music out. There's digital,
mm-hmm.
Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff, right? Tidal. Then you have records, which are making a comeback.
Vinyl was never dead.
And you have CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you think, which out of those three, for example, and you have audio tapes, which are coming back too. Out of those four, which one do you think is the most environmentally unfriendly?
The most environmentally unfriendly is definitely digital.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a big part of like Bitcoin is environment. Yeah. Like all that digital stuff.
Yeah.
Is very hard on the environment.
It's hard on the environment because how much energy, all those data centers, how much energy they produce.
The heat output.
Exactly.
The power output.
Whereas like CDs, CDs are like, they're cheaper to produce.
Mm-hmm.
They last longer. They are, if you take care of them and they, everything that you can make them all out of recyclable material.
Right.
So this guy's pushing to like make that make CDs the ultimate like format for music. Now, is it,
feasible?
Who knows? But that's what he's pushing for right now.
Right. I would imagine it could come back. I still buy CDs. I rarely buy, honest to God, when I do buy music, it is a CD.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just bought the Vince Guaraldi 2-disc set because I buy CDs.
Yeah, or, like my favorite band, when they come out, I buy their CD.
Right.
Because you want to listen to it in your car. If you try to listen to Bluetooth in your car, Bluetooth audio to your car is terrible.
Like Bluetooth audio is terrible.
Yeah, like to your earphones, because if you have a good Bluetooth codec, like aptX, HD
mm-hmm.
or whatever, yeah, those are great, right?
Right.
But if you have like just SBC, for example, that's garbage.
It's horrible.
And like from your phone to your car, like my car is 2016,
mm-hmm.
and when I Bluetooth
good speakers,
yeah, and the sound system is great. The for the size of the car, but if you if I Bluetooth, let's say Will of the People by Muse, okay, let's say if I Bluetooth that to my car, the sound is so flat.
Yeah,
I put the CD in there. It is pristine.
It's beautiful.
So yeah, it's just I don't like. Bluetooth audio to my car is just, I don't even use it. It's garbage.
No, it's not good. I don't like Bluetooth audio. I used to hate that. Bluetooth audio to me is exactly like those old tuners. You used to plug your phone into a tuner.
Yeah.
And then, like, the tuner would send a signal to your radio dial, so you could, like, dial into, like, 103.7.
Yeah.
And then you listen to that. It's the same.
Yeah, it's garbage. Like, it's even garbage. Even, like, Jason, he drives a... He has a Lexus, and he has a Mark Levinson system in his car.
Oh, wow.
And so... he's like, pretty intense. And he's like, he listens to Bluetooth, and he's like, he goes, this is absolute garbage.
Yeah, man, I don't like Bluetooth. I never liked MP3s. I thought the MP3 sound is great when you've got something playing that you've taken all your CDs and turned into MP3s on an MP3 player.
Yeah.
Just because you need something.
Yeah.
But if you want to really listen to music.
Yeah.
Vinyl and CDs are the only way to go.
Yeah.
FLAC is great. Like, FLAC, it's always nice.
Yeah. I have the entire Muse catalog in FLAC.
Yeah.
So I put it on a USB stick and I put it in my car and it sounds fantastic.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah. But I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah, out of all the ways to go, that is the only way that makes sense if you want to hear music
properly. Yeah, if you want to hear a lot of music in your car and you want, like, if you can't fit a lot of, like, you don't have a CD, like, booklet to put all your CDs in there, like we used to do back in, you know, back in the day. But if you just want to, like, if you want digital on your in your car, don't Bluetooth it. Just put them all in a USB stick. And if your car has a USB thing in there, put it in there. And let's do it that way.
You Bluetooth it with an MP3, you're missing... I mean, if you really care about listening to what you're listening to,
yeah,
it's not going to sound...
It's not, yes, exactly.
And I remember I was listening to I want to say Monk in Action or Straight No Chaser. I'm a huge jazz guy. I love my jazz music. So I'm listening to Straight No Chaser, I think, and maybe like Green Chimneys or Locomotion. Anyway, it was like some song I was listening to, waiting for like a breath. Like, literally my headphones on, waiting for a breath, because that was, like, the part of the song that I like now is coming up.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear it. I thought I was imagining it. The first time I used that, it was an MP3.
Mm-hmm.
The very first time I had iTunes, like, on a Windows machine, I changed all my music into MP3s, and I was listening to it, and I couldn't hear it. And that was, like, 15 years ago. And right from there, I was like, oh, MP3s are garbage. MP3s are crap. And then Bluetooth showed up, and you could wire your system, your soundbar, using a Bluetooth signal from your phone or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Even that was crap. Like, this is all garbage. Wire your shit.
Yeah.
Listen to CDs and vinyl if you
like,
can.
Yeah, there's a difference between Bluetooth audio and Wi-Fi audio is fantastic.
Yeah, Wi-Fi audio is very good.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
But yeah, like I was listening to a Dolby Atmos album on my Sonos. Yeah, just on Wi-Fi audio. Holy, it's just like it's a different song when you're listening to it.
Well, it's engineered.
It's engineered, right? So like it's completely engineered, but nothing beats stereo.
Yeah,
for music,
man.
Old two good speakers. Stereo. Yeah, just two speakers that sound good. That's all you need.
The Zenith back there. The old Zenith.
That's all you need.
Setup.
Yeah.
My Allegros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are, man, I used to put the old record player on and drop some like really nice. I had the Black Album on vinyl.
Oh, nice.
I remember the Black Album on vinyl. I used to enjoy more than the Black Album on CD on the same speakers, just two different machines.
Playing. Yeah.
But there was something about listening to it on vinyl that it was just like tangible. Something about it is just you can touch it, you can feel it, you can see how the music is put on there,
yeah,
and your brain knows it, that warmth to it, the warmth feeling to it, about
yeah,
that's it,
true, yeah,
there, right,
yeah, because we're like where the analog wave goes like this,
right,
like this, right, but the what the CD does is like it's a straight line trying to go through all of them,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's true, but the CD is almost too good,
yeah, because it's 16-bit.
It's 16-bit, right? Yeah. I mean, when you look at a CD under a microscope, it's no different than a record.
Yeah, that's true, because like, it doesn't matter about the CD, because CD was always... depends about if it's a super audio CD.
Mm-hmm.
Some CDs are better. It all depends on your CD player, because like a regular CD player, like let's say a Sony CD player, will play at... Well, it'll play in stereo or whatever, but like you can get like $5,000 CD players will just make it sound... like they'll make it sound like a $1 million CD.
Right.
And or if you have a dedicated 4K player... like I have a Sony 4K dedicated Blu-ray player.
Right.
And it plays in high-res audio, so it will upscale the sound.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right.
But yeah, it depends on like what you're looking for.
Right, it really does. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there are people who are nerdy about what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I know we really like to hear every part of the song we're listening to. Like, we can't...
I wouldn't say I'm like super nerdy.
Right.
I like good quality sound, right. But I'm not like Jason or Jaskiath or Gertage or something like that, like my cousins. But yeah, they're...
Yeah, I'm bad for that. I need to... I'm more about audio than I am about video. Something like a movie can look
Yeah, see, for me, it's for a me, little worse. I'm the opposite. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, a good example for me would be the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, the New Hope on the, like, the theater print that I've got. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look nearly as nice as I wish it would look, mm-hmm. but it looks how it was projected in theaters. So, I appreciate that to it.
Yeah.
And it's fine. But the audio in that file is so good. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you can hear the pop and crack of the film moving.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
I just love it. Like, I just love that.
Yeah. I would say I need a balance of the two. Like, I love the video quality has to be excellent, but the mm-hmm. sound quality has to be really good.
Right.
But when it comes to that, like, so I'm in both camps, but I'm learning to be more of a audiologist, for lack of a better term.
Ah.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Man, we got fancy this episode.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
We got angry. We got calm.
Yeah.
Talked about the way the world works. And yeah. Dilfs and music.
I have to admit, I did look at the best of Real Housewife fights today for about 5 minutes. I love that. I love watching women tear themselves down. It's like it's so entertaining watching idiots destroy each other.
Idiots, I love it. Who think they're propping themselves up. Destroy each other.
Yeah, there's one lady where it was her, like, her she's getting married, and like her cake or whatever, this cake was like the size of like your height, and like they on the top there's a bow on it. Yeah. So it's one of the those awful like aliens was like yeah, like she said her sugar level was low, so she took a little bit off the a ribbon that was made out of like frosting or whatever. And then a huge fight broke out after that. She's like, I just had a little piece, and I'm like, why'd you, there's something in the kitchen for you. And then like,
yeah, she didn't need to do that. And the person arguing with her didn't need to, like,
make a big deal of it. Yeah.
You both did the wrong thing.
Yeah, they're just self-reliant on each other to, like, tear each other, right. Like, to make their lives miserable. And they just broke down, a huge fight broke out. I'm like, your whole, like, imagine when something really bad happens. You guys are never going to be able to figure it out.
No, never at all.
No.
No, no, because they don't have the tools to, like, properly navigate.
That's like, your life.
To like social situations, mm-hmm. or even like personal situations, they never had the tools to navigate those things.
No, they were just, yeah, they were like how were you raised? Fuck.
Well, they were raised to snap right away. They're all from broken homes.
Yeah.
I don't say that in a weird way. It's like, but they all came from like fucked up situations.
Yeah. Like not, like, yeah, it doesn't have to be like poor situations, but just like fucked up situations where like they were just like.
Parents didn't teach each other well.
Yeah, they didn't teach, they just gave you whatever you wanted. They didn't raise you properly. And you're just a spoiled idiot. So.
It's like there was never a.
And all that plastic surgery and all these rich guys were just like, you know what? Yeah, you're I can get you. You're rich. You're gonna do whatever I say. Right. I'll just throw money at you and then you'll whatever. But
it'll be fine, right?
Yeah. Just.
But what I was kind of getting at is those people who are those adults were raised by adults who are like them now.
Yeah.
So like there was never a resetting of the volume. Mm-hmm. It's like if the TV is too loud, you just talk louder. And if you were talking too loud and somebody else was watching TV, they would turn it up. Mm-hmm. If you told them to turn it down, they would tell you to fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, that's the mentality of these people. Yeah. And they've grown up like that.
Yeah. Their parents never had time for them. They never like, oh, well, I'll just take this and, I'll be back. They never taught them manners, how to appreciate things.
Yep.
And
No respect for things.
No respect for other people. Yeah. It's just, mm-hmm. it's crazy.
And I think there's also like sometimes you've got decent parents and you always see like, how did you get this from decent parents?
Yeah.
So I always say good people are the problem. They either don't want to make more of a problem. Mm-hmm. So they never reset the volume, or they don't have the tools themselves because they're a doormat and they just like, paid the problem away.
Yeah.
But, and by that, I mean like the kid's noisy, we'll give him a TV. The kid's noisy, give him a phone. He's noisy, give him candy.
Yeah.
Let him do whatever. Cause it's easier to deal with that.
Yeah.
And then you've got friends wondering why you're such a doormat. Your kid walks all over you, right? Why are you like that?
Yeah.
It's cause nobody like the Red Foreman never existed in your life. Nobody put a foot up your ass. It's like sometimes you need to like every family, mother or father needs to be free with the foot, man.
Yeah.
The foot needs to go up an ass every now and then.
Yeah, I think I would say like, I would, just to see how it would work, I'd be like, if I was to ground, I'm like, you know what? Here's you're grounded, okay? Name me your favorite book, mm-hmm. and then like, I'd be like, you know what? You're grounded. A week later, I want you to tell me about this book and then explain it to me,
right?
And then like, and so you're gonna be in your room. You go to your room. You're not watching TV. You're reading this book, and I want to read something. I want to hear either a report or whatever it is, and tell me exactly what you think. What was that book about?
Right.
So you're not sitting in your room, like even though you don't have TV, you have a book.
You've got a book?
Yeah.
You got something.
Yeah.
My nephew just got grounded last week. He's mm-hmm. 7 years old. He apparently was like fighting with his sister and his brother. His little sister is a year younger than him, and little brother is 3 years younger than him.
Yeah.
So they were fighting and doing all this kind of stuff. So the parents were like, you know what? You're grounded. You go into your room, no TV, no this, no that, no nothing, whatever it is. He's pretty good, but he can kind of like try to get away with stuff every now and then, like using his whole like apologetic cuteness. Mm-hmm. But this time it was like, nope, you go into your room and you're like, come home from school, you have your snack, no TV in your room.
Yeah.
So I picked him up from school and all of a sudden I go to his room to see what he's doing. But he was upstairs already. And he's not telling me what he did wrong because that's embarrassing. Because like I'm his pal,
yeah.
And if I know what's wrong, that's really bad.
Yeah.
But he had all these Lego contraptions built in his room, and he never does that. Like mm-hmm. he does not have the patience for Lego. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, he's got like helicopters and car and nice stuff, mm-hmm. and robots and shit. I'm like, what is this all about? He's like, oh, I'm building my Lego in my room by myself, door closed, doing my own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not being an asshole mm-hmm. and being creative and being in his own world.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I know he was better for it. Mm-hmm. So I went downstairs. I'm like, what's going on with Chumley over here? Mm-hmm. He's got like all these Lego things built in his room. They're like, oh yeah, he's grounded. He's being a little jerk. And this is why. I'm like, well, good for you guys. You put down the rule of law.
Yep.
He obeyed. And he's going to be better for it going forward.
Yeah, he'll be an engineer. He knows how to build things now.
He knows how to build things. Mm-hmm. I showed him how to stabilize the Lego. Like sometimes your Lego wheels are loose. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, you got to have stabilizers. You build this shit around. Make the Lego be strong. Contraptions will be strong. And he's doing it now because mm-hmm. now he gets it because he was given enough time away from all that distractive shit.
Yeah.
To like sit with his own thoughts and just be a creative little monkey. And he did.
Yeah. I'd recommend going James May's Toy Stories on Amazon. Ooh. And see that one where he built a house full of Lego.
Mm.
He got some people together and he's like a bunch of this community. And he's like, yeah, let's build a Lego like house.
I'll give that
garden,
a watch.
Everything. Yeah. It's on Amazon. It's crazy. That whole show was amazing.
There's some good stuff from those guys. I mean, I know the whole Clarkson thing's kind of going in the toilet, but the other guys are still making a really good shit.
Yeah, this is an old one, too.
Really?
This is when he was in Top Gear.
Oh, so it's like, it's older. I had no idea.
Yeah, like he did one where he had to fly this model plane, this one plane of like a, he bits the famous like British World War II plane.
Oh, yeah.
And
those Spitfires and stuff.
So what they did, he's like, we're going to build like this one, I'm not sure what the scale was, but he said, we're going to try to get that. We're going to launch it from a helicopter. It's going to fly from I'm not sure where they it's from the cliffs, like where the edge of England is.
Dover?
And to, like, they were going to fly to there, but they wanted to fly to another island, to France. But it's this island in between, but I think it was like 21 miles.
Hmm.
They dropped from a helicopter and it flew.
That's wild. Lego plane.
Yeah. No, this is
like a model.
They built a model and it was okay. Just, it was crazy that you should watch that show. It's amazing. Yeah.
You know what, speaking of Amazon, books. If you've got an Amazon Prime membership,
mm-hmm.
you get free books.
Yeah,
like a lot of them. I had no idea. I was trying to find some like some books on Amazon, thinking like, should I get the Kindle? Should I get the Audible? What should I do? So then I go to Kindle Unlimited, and I'm going through the little store there. It's like, oh, you get like all this stuff free with Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's like you don't own them, but they're books that you've read. So
yeah, it doesn't take up space.
When you're taking up space.
Yeah.
You know, filling your shelf up with a bunch of jack off romance novels.
Yeah. What do you think of Neil Gaiman's what's it called? Sandman. Did you watch the show?
The show on Netflix?
Yeah.
I did watch it.
You did?
I liked it.
You liked it?
Okay. I liked it. I did not like the little actress who plays Rose Walker.
Yeah.
I thought she was way too young and too plucky. But I thought, like, for another character, she'd have been fine. But I thought she just seemed really too young for me.
I think
Rose seems more mature in the book.
Yeah. I think also who's the voice of the crow?
Oh, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah,
did a good joke. I think he did a good job.
Yeah, I found him annoying.
I'm a big fan of the series. Yeah. I had a slightly different voice in my head.
Yeah.
I had a because the character he is in the comic books is not Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
It's essentially like who's the guy who plays the creeper or the guy who's the real version the Jim the guy who's the real the guy who's the news anchor. That's the guy who is the voice, like that kind of guy.
Okay.
So he's more of like, hey, how's it going? I'm a little bit more roguey. Oh, okay. So I had more of that kind of thing in my head. Like, hey, yeah, a little bit more happy-go-lucky. I'm going to go mess up some shit. And the Patton Oswalt voice was a little bit more Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Like a little bit more of a
loser. That's what I didn't like about it.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, he was a little bit more Spence Olchin.
Yeah.
Like he's a little
bit more of a loser. Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't like a guy who gets shit done.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who gets pushed around. And he's using that. But then I grew to appreciate the different guy.
Mm.
Same thing with Rose. After a while, I grew to appreciate who she was
mm-hmm.
rather than who I had in my head. What's his name there? No Eyes. Tom Holbrook.
Yeah.
The demon that the dream demon he plays. Fucking yeah. Phenomenal job.
Yeah, he's great.
Did a great job. Sandman, the kid they got to play Morpheus. Great job. Mm-hmm. Death. Great job. Mm-hmm. I actually appreciate the TV version of Death more than the comic version of Death.
Mm.
She's more of like, she's more commanding, I felt, in the show. Like, she gets shit done.
Yeah, that,
really liked it.
Are they going to make a season two?
Yep. Yeah. Season two got greenlit. It might be a little bit less expensive.
Yeah.
I don't think the show did the gangbuster numbers they wanted it to.
Yeah.
But I really liked it.
Excellent. Okay. Anything else?
No, I think we had a lot of stuff there. I was,
Oh, another thing. The Last Ronin is going to be turned into a video game.
They are trying it's the actively.
Goal. Yeah.
The goal is to make The Last Ronin into a game.
Yeah.
It was not free on that Kindle Prime.
You haven't read it yet, right?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, it's...
I don't know if it was spoiled for me or not, though. Do you know who the last... Are you supposed to know who he is? Did they tell you right away?
Yeah, you figured it out.
Okay, cool. Because it got spoiled for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really annoyed. I felt like that was supposed to be, like, left to the end. I was trying to, like, find it, and all of a sudden, like, I saw the synopsis. And whoever wrote that one, it wasn't in the book thing, in the bookstore at all. It was, like, an online kind of, like, breakdown of what mm-hmm. happens.
Yeah.
Spoiled it right away. So I'm like, is that supposed to be a surprise? Was it?
Like,
how many issues in do you find out who he is?
Well, I read the full thing.
The graphic novel.
Yeah, the graphic novel, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how far into the graphic novel do you find out?
Probably in the first third.
Oh, so that's not too bad.
No.
Okay, I thought it was like at the end you find out it's not who you thought it was. It's this one.
No.
He's really mad.
And they're making the sequel to that right now.
They're making a...
They're writing it right now.
Like a series.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like another series.
There's another four turtles that are coming.
Okay. Yeah. Mutant Mayhem looks really good too, by the way. The movie that's coming out.
Oh, the movie? Oh, okay. I haven't seen the show yet.
Huh?
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
The trailer is incredible. I'm more excited for Donnie than I am for almost anybody else because he reminds me of my nephew with a squeaky little voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to see Donnie because he looks like he's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Too bad the cartoon, it jumped the shark in really...
The 80s cartoon?
Yeah.
It jumped,
yeah, I think it jumped the shark probably 40 episodes in.
That's a long time for an 80s cartoon, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They produce like 1,000 episodes in a year.
I know. I have that minivan that has all the episodes, and it's just like, I can only get through like the first third, and after that, I'm like, I can't watch this anymore.
It gets pretty silly after a
while. Yeah, it does.
You're just like,
you know what? This is like, it's like, and we talked about this, like Krang and Shredder turned into like an old, they're like,
right.
They're like the, what's that show called? All in the Family?
Yes.
Archie Bunker or whatever. And they just turn to that.
Well, they're the Odd Couple.
Yeah, they're the Odd Couple.
Yeah, they become the Odd Couple.
Yeah, they're just like married. They're like Shredder, Krang.
Yeah. But they all do that.
They all do that.
All the cartoons did that. The only one who didn't, I still say consistently, the only one that didn't do that was He-Man. He-Man, just every episode was like a version of the last episode.
Yeah.
It's got like a cool character, a cool fight scene, a moral, you know, teaches you to be a good person.
Yeah.
And then you move on.
Did you have that? Have you been to that store, TGIF on White Avenue?
No, I'm not.
So basically, it's all about, like, has all these toys and like video games and VHS tapes from the 80s and not from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this whole store. It's filled like vintage stuff there. And they're closing down now. So they're moving locations.
They're moving.
Yeah. Oh. But like I said, like they have to move because like that, it was just too expensive. A lot of people were coming in there. But I was walking by there on Friday and I was like, I'm going to go in there. And I saw this shirt. And he didn't have my size. I'm like, can you make me one of those?
Oh my God.
And he's like, yeah, I can make you one. So I have to go pick it up. I have to go pick it up on Wednesday.
Do you want
to
tell us what it is or wait till next? Well, how about you just wear it next time?
I can tell you what it is.
Just a little surprise.
No, I know. I'll wear it next time, but like I can show what it is.
I don't know if I want.
You can't really see it, but you actually could see it.
You'll stand back a little bit. It'll be a surprise.
It's not really a big deal.
You built it up.
It's no, I just got a text saying that your t-shirt's ready. But you know what it is?
No, I don't want to know what it is. I want you to wear it next time.
Well, I'll be wearing a sweater next time.
You'll wear the t-shirt instead. It's warm down here.
All right, fine.
Put a space heater in the back. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's the middle of August.
Yeah, so it's just...
people don't know.
Yeah, but it's just a symbol that goes right here.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's two symbols in one.
Two symbols in one?
Yeah.
Is it two snakes coming together over a black sun?
No.
Ah! No. If it had been two symbols in one,
mm-hmm.
Does anybody get that reference?
Two
snakes. Have you seen this?
Is that Dull Dragon?
Nope.
What is it?
Two snakes.
Okay,
used to walk the earth with his little buddy. They would look for the symbol because they killed his mother.
Oh,
they
that's...
His father.
Is that
took my father's sword.
Oh, that's... Is that Conan the Barbarian?
Conan the Barbarian! Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Might have said a little bit too loud for the microphone.
No, this one is like... this one is like... it's two things that I, one that I loved as a kid and one that I love now.
Oh, just tell me.
It's the t-shirt's probably like this color, and it just has the Autobot symbol in a, the Autobot symbol, but in a Wu-Tang symbol.
Oh!
In
a
Wu-Tang shape, yeah.
Dude, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie to you, that's pretty rad. You know what's also rad? So, man, always about the kids. So the little one there, she got an award in school, a Live, Lead, Learn award. So I always get them something if they do something nice, right?
Yeah.
I went to Old Navy to get her some socks, but instead I saw a shirt. It was a pink shirt, little girl shirt, for like size of a 6-year-old with Wu-Tang on it.
Oh, there you go.
Like a 6-year-old wearing a Wu-Tang shirt. I thought about it.
Yeah.
My mom vetoed that. She's like, no, you go get her something else. So I had to change it up. She was like, you're not going to give her a Wu-Tang shirt in kindergarten.
Oh,
the teacher's going to know what it is and kick her out of the classroom. Especially she's like, you know, dropping Wu-Tang one-liners. But it's pretty rad. They're making 6-year-old gear with Wu-Tang on it.
Oh, no, you can get it from, they have, you know, onesies?
Yeah, yeah.
You can get Wu-Tang ones.
Yeah, I got, like a baby doesn't know, right?
Baby doesn't know, but yeah.
You but like a 6-year-old.
Oh, yeah. You can
wear a Wu-Tang shirt.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's kind of fun. Yeah, Jason's daughter wore one to school.
It's rad.
Yeah, she's in elementary. She's like, yeah. She's like, then they asked her, like, what is it? What is that? Is that a Wu-Tang shirt?
Did she say it?
No, she said Wu-Tang is for the children.
Oh, I thought she was going to tell Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with.
Oh, no. I got in trouble for that when I was wearing, I wore that Wu-Tang Clan nothing to fuck with. I had a Wu-Tang symbol on my on the front. I said Wu-Tang Clan nothing to fuck with on the back. I was wearing it in grade 12.
Nice.
And I was in chemistry class, and teacher's like, can you put a sweater on or take that shirt off? And I said, why? And he's like, that's inappropriate.
It's the truth, motherfucker.
Yeah. And I'm like, and he's like, he said, go home and like grab a sweater.
Yeah.
And I said, this is my only class of the day.
Go get some duct tape.
Yeah, because like, yeah, in grade 12, I had no classes. Cause I took summer school in grade 10, 11 just to get rid of classes.
Ooh.
And then, there was actually days like in 96 where I had days off.
Yeah, you were one of the smart kids.
Yeah, so I just...
You planned.
Because like, the thing is like, we all did that. So we were like, you know, because like, we live right beside J. Percy Page. So we could just like...
We could just
go play basketball like in the morning. And he's like, yeah, go home. I said, if I go home, get a sweat, put a sweater on, I'm not coming back.
I ain't going back to school.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
I'm like, what are you going to do?
Nothing.
Yeah, we're going to do fail me. I'm like, I have the highest marks in the class.
It's always good.
It's always good to feel it.
It's always good to have that little bit. It's always good to have that advantage where somebody's like, I could fire you. Be like, I'll spill the beans. About the toxic waste dump.
Yeah,
I could expel you. It's like, well, I've already passed all my classes.
Yeah, really. You know what the weird thing is that I found out way later on, like when I was studying for finals,
mm-hmm.
that in high school that because I used to wear like just pajamas to school because mm-hmm. I would go there for like, you know, an hour and then just come home. So I just wear like whatever. I'll be wearing like hospital pants or like just my pajamas. Yeah, and then my hair wasn't done. I wouldn't even brush my teeth or I just wash my face and get out of there.
Well, that's just a failure.
Yeah, and so. And so I'd be studying for exams, and then we'd be at the U of A, and all these girls we went to high school with, they would just be like, look at me. And then all of a sudden, then years later, you know, we all talked to them, become friends. She's like, can I tell you something? I'm like, what is it? She's like, you know, in high school, you know, she's like, did you ever like, I never saw you like dress up once, or I'm like, yeah, like, I didn't
care. Have good hygiene.
Yeah, I didn't care. Yeah, like, it's too early to take a shower. And then she's like, yeah, all my friends saw you, and they're like, we thought you came from a broken home.
we thought you came from like the worst back.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, you always look so sad. And I'm like, no, I was just tired. I just woke up like I literally got up 10 minutes before I came to class.
Borderline depressed. is he okay? Should we ask him?
Yeah, because
somebody should ask him if he's okay.
Yeah, because you know where my old house was, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You could just walk to school, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was just very simple.
I only ever saw you a couple times when you were at Ainley for that little
bit.
I remember there was a few. I can't remember who you were with. That we were in a gym class once together, I think. That's what I remember.
Maybe, yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I remember, like, we were in a class. I feel like you knew who I was, but I didn't know who you were because we knew each other from mutual friends.
Yeah.
And I was always like, why are these guys being so friendly? Because nobody was friendly to me at all.
Yeah.
The
only person, especially in grade 11, the only people I knew that you knew was was Neil and Tony.
Right. Bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
And I knew them from, you know, family and junior high.
Yeah.
So I remember you and somebody else. That's how I remember you when I first got reintroduced to you, like a decade ago.
Yeah, because in grade 10, I was with people from grade 12.
Right.
Yeah, because they're my friends from like when I was.
That's who you knew.
Yeah, that's all I knew. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, being like very, very much like an outsider in school, it was weird to me that anybody is being like friendly who I just kind of knew.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, come on, me at the next one. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And then that was it. After that, I was back to being like, then you were gone. Like, you were gone right away after that.
Yeah, grade 11, I just took off. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see you again, I think, after that. Mm-hmm. And then, I was an outcast. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. I could have been somebody, but you just ditched me. You left.
Yeah. It was great, though. I loved, Paige was just great.
That's nice.
Grade 12 was just, I loved it. I loved every single minute of it.
I'm glad when I hear people had great high school stories. I mean, yeah. I didn't, but I'm always, I did and I didn't. I didn't have a traditional high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like our little group, we were very much like outsiders.
Yeah.
And we had one teacher, Mr. Miller, in our class, who really took care of us.
Yeah.
Dan Miller, unbelievable teacher.
Yeah.
Like lessons now as a guy in his 40s, like, you know, almost 30 years ago, mm-hmm. that I learned from him that I still hold on to because he was that good. But I'm always glad to hear that people I know had really good high school experiences.
Yeah.
It makes me happy that you guys were not from a broken home.
Not from a broken home.
That's it, buddy. We had a long one today. An hour and 20-something minutes in, we talked about all the great shit that we're going to do, and now you're just on your phone.
Oh, no. My uncle's coming in. I have to send my flight information to my mom.
Well, do that. You'll do that now, and then we'll go and look at Final Cut.
Sounds good.
Okay. That's what we're going to do. We're going to play around with Final Cut Pro.
Sounds good. All right.
If you've got nothing else, I got nothing else.
Peace out.
Did you just fucking... Did you finger the camera?
That's from The Crow.
Oh, you did finger the camera. Crow style.